Tell me about the Georgia blueberry and why it's so special.
Well, in my opinion, there's nothing to compare to it. I've been to Michigan and ate some Michigan blueberries, and they don't have the flavor that the berries down here have. I know I'm probably partial because I'm standing in my blueberry field, but, you know.
From coast to coast and all over the world, Georgia is known as the Peach State. But what you might not know is this. Another contender has overtaken the iconic stone fruit for the title of number one fruit in all of Georgia. Could it be time for folks to start calling us the Blueberry State?
I came from the mud, there's dirt on my hands. Strong like a tree, there's roots where I stand.
I'm David Zelsky, and this is the Fork in the Road podcast, presented by Georgia Grown and the fine folks at Georgia Public Broadcasting. Each episode, we feature stories from Georgia's farmers, fishermen, merchants, artisans, chefs, and others who help provide Georgia-grown products to folks in the peach... provide Georgia-grown products to folks in the blueberry state and beyond. Okay. All right, we're always going to be the peach state. But it is true that blueberries are the number one fruit crop in Georgia. And while Georgia ranks third nationally for both blueberry and peach production, blueberries contributed more than $348 million to Georgia's economy in 2021, compared to just shy of $85 million from peaches. So why are blueberries the king in Georgia? We'll get to that in a minute. First, let's head down to the southeast corner of the state to the edges of the legendary Okefenokee Swamp. There in Waycross, Georgia, lies the unincorporated community of Waresboro, home to Don Mixon of Mixon Farm and his rows upon rows of sweet Georgia blueberries.
My name's Donald Mixon, D-O-N-A-L-D-M-I-X-O-N.
Mixon Farms, what is your position with Mixon Farms?
I'm the manager.
Manager? You're founder, owner?
Just founder and owner, that's correct.
Okay. All right. First off, tell me where we are and what you're growing here.
Well, we're in Ware County, Georgia, little community outside of Waycross called Waresboro, and we're growing blueberries.
Okay, not just a couple.
Not just a couple.
Tell me about this place.
Actually, we have about 900 acres in the ground. About 750 acres are producing.
In Georgia, over 18,000 acres produce 39 million pounds of blueberries every year. That's a whole lot of picking.
And it's Georgia's number one fruit.
That's right. Peaches no more. Nothing against peaches. I love peaches too. But I'm partial to blueberry.
Tell me about the Georgia blueberry and why it's so special.
Well, in my opinion, there's nothing to compare to it. I've been to Michigan and ate some Michigan blueberries, and they don't have the flavor that the berries down here have. I know I'm probably partial because I'm standing in my blueberry field, but, you know.
Okay, time for a little history. You see, Georgia farmers first began planting blueberries in the southeast corner of the state in 1990 as an alternative to traditional southern crops like tobacco and timber. In the 2000s, decreased demand for tobacco hit that industry hard, and the recession of 2008 meant a big dip in construction projects, dealing a huge blow to the timber industry. That's when Georgia farmers started using blueberries to change course. Before Georgia agriculture's Great Blue Renaissance, Mixon Farm had been established in 1905 as a tobacco farm, and it operated that way for just over 100 years.
And you weren't always a blueberry farmer.
No, I wasn't. I've always been a farmer. My parents, my father was a farmer. Both my grandfathers were farmers. When I graduated from high school, I went in the Navy, and I was in Vietnam, and I wrote my mother a letter and told her to tell my dad to rent up some extra tobacco because I was coming back to the farm. So I did. I came back to the farm. My dad and I formed a partnership, and we grew tobacco. It was our main crop. There along about 2007 or so, it got so we couldn't make no money growing tobacco. We had a big fire to come through, destroy some timber land. I had some friends in the blueberry business, and at that time blueberries were pretty good. I decided I decided I'd clean up some land, plant blueberries. At this point, I think it was a good move. I enjoyed the blueberry business.
The blueberry business turned out to be a lucrative and fruitful one.
How many blueberries go through that building when it's packing season?
This year we're looking to pack 5 to 5.5 million pounds this year. I'm capable. I want to say I could pack 7 million. That'd probably push it a little bit. I mean, yeah, it'd require some long days, but we could actually pack 7 million. But I think 5.5 million is 5 to 5.5 million is where we're going to end up this year.
If I quit stealing some of these from your bushes, you might get to 7 million.
A toxic fire, a plume of smoke, and a community demanding answers. In Conyers, Georgia, the biolab disaster left residents searching for truth and accountability. This season, GPB uncovers system failures, hears from whistleblowers, and follows neighbors still fighting to be heard. I'm Pamela Kirkland. Join me for season 2 of Manufacturing Danger, the Biolab Story. Listen now at gpb.org/podcast or wherever you get your podcasts.
How's this for a fun fact? There are more than 150 distinct varieties of blueberries. In Georgia, 3 varieties are most common: Rabbit Eye, followed by Northern High Bush, and Southern High Bush.
So right here, we're in Southern High Bush. Southern High Bush is the earlier varieties, typically your hand-picked varieties. Rabbit Eye is an older variety that's more, is more native to this area.
Yeah, when you talk about, you know, high bush, I guess it lives up to its name, because I see a lot of blueberry bushes there at my waist.
Right.
These are hitting the top of your cap almost.
Right, right. Well, after harvest, glad you said that. After harvest, we'll come in and we'll actually prune them, and we'll bring them back down to somewhere along in this area. So we cut all this excess stuff off, and then we fertilize them and water them, and they grow back.
As far as the differences between these two varieties, the more common Rabbit Eye is the seedier of the two. It could also be the healthier option.
Well, typically people don't like Rabbit Eye because they're a little bit seedy. But as far as the information I have from UGA, Rabbit Eye are higher in antioxidants. They're higher in Brix, which is sugar, than High Bush. But High Bush is the preferred species, I reckon, because they're less seedy.
Growing a wide variety of blueberries means Mixon Farm can harvest year-round.
Typically, High Bush, we start picking typically around the middle of April. This year we started the 1st of April, and we'll run through the middle of July with our Rabbit Eye. And that's the reason we have Rabbit Eye and High Bush. You know, we just came out of the packing shed. You know, it's a pretty big building, a lot of money tied up there. And to extend our packing season, that's why we have both species.
The size of the blueberry often depends on the species.
This would actually go as a jumbo. Jumbos have to be 18 millimeters in size, and there's actually a premium for jumbos. I wish they all would grow about the size of a quarter, but they don't, unfortunately. Every variety has... You'll have some berries that are large, some are small. This particular variety we're in here is Farthing, and it's typically a mid to large size berry. It's a high yielder. This field will yield probably 15,000 pounds to the acre.
Blueberries are tough little buggers with natural defense mechanisms against the elements. Just another reason growing them became so popular in Georgia.
When I'm looking at the bushes, I see kind of a white film on some of these. Tell me what that is and why it's important.
That's called the bloom. And it protects the berry. It protects it from sunlight. It's just a protective film that is formed on the berry.
And that's a natural thing?
That's a natural thing, that's natural.
That's fascinating.
Georgia's naturally sandy and acidic soil combined with its typically mild winters make it an ideal state for blueberry growth. But this area being ideal for growing blueberries doesn't mean that it is necessarily easy. Maintaining blueberry fields is no small task.
This is a new planting. We have, this winter we planted 150 acres. And that was part of its expansion. Plus the fact that Southern High Bush longevity is probably 10 to 12 years. So you have to recycle them. You have to take some out and plant new ones. And to keep our production up, we planted this 150 acres. Now this winter, I'll take out some. I may not take out 150 acres, but I know I'm gonna take out probably 50 acres. And this is just a renewal process. And what I do, when I do a new planting, I plant rooted cuttings. And I come back in and I put these milk cartons on top of the plant to cover the plant. I do that for two reasons. Number one, I can come in here and spray my herbicide without damaging the plant. Number two, it helps train the plant to grow upright so I can machine harvest it.
That's interesting. How long until these are bearing fruit?
2 years.
2 years?
2 years.
Blueberry field management requires many, many hands to make it work.
What does it take to look over this acreage? What are you doing every day? Because it's quite pretty from what I see, and that's no mistake.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you saying that. It takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of management. I have a good team behind me. It takes a lot of spray, a lot of everything, a lot of good luck. It takes an extremely large amount of management. You know, we work all through harvest season. Once we get through harvesting, we'll take maybe a week off, and then we go back to pruning plants, clearing land, putting in irrigation. On this farm, we do it all. Well, we don't contract anything out. We do it all. We clear our land. We put in the irrigation. We make up the rows. We plant. We do everything except grow the plants.
A big part of managing blueberry fields is just keeping the bugs away.
We're constantly spraying, constantly. During this time of year, we're spraying insecticides, which we have to do. We're in the California and the Canadian program. And to be in those programs, which means that we can export fruit to California and Canada. To be able to do that, we have to, and even to sell fruit locally, we have to, through our food safety protocols, we have to spray on a 7 to 10 day interval. So you can imagine spraying 900 acres or 750 acres producing, spraying it on a weekly basis. That alone's a big chore, and then we got to spray grass. We got to try to keep the fields clean. It's just a big challenge.
And all that spraying and maintenance takes a whole lot of people. To fill his workforce, Don Mixon uses the H-2A program. That's a government program which allows foreign nationals to enter the United States for seasonal agricultural work like blueberry picking. There are several requirements employers must meet to use this program. One of them, providing housing and meal accommodations for workers who are unable to return to their permanent residences the same day. According to the USDA, in 2022, Florida, California, and Georgia accounted for 1/3 of all H-2A jobs nationwide.
I typically use the H-2A program. I use a lot of hand pickers. They come out here and they handpick this fruit, they put it in lugs, put it in a refrigerated trailer. We bring it to the packing shed, unload it. Typically it sits in my holding area for 24 hours to cool down. My holding area is at 60 degrees. Typically we bring it in today, cool it tonight, pack it tomorrow. And once we pack it, it goes into the cooler. And the cooler is at 34 degrees.
Without the H-2A program, farms like Mixon would be hard-pressed for labor.
When I first built this packing shed, I tried to use local folks, and my turnaround rate was pretty high. And I got involved in the H-2A program, and it worked out really well for me, and I'm thankful for it.
Human hands are always a necessity on the farm, but Mixon gets a great deal of help from some friendly machines.
Now the machines are the first line of defense.
That's correct.
I looked at a computer, it was showing green, red, you know, it was kind of neat. I guess that was picking the ones that weren't ready. Tell me about the machine.
Okay, we first dump it into just a conveyor. It goes up into a blower. The blower blows what leaves and twigs, whatever little stuff that it can blow out, it blows it out. Then it goes through a color sorter, which kicks out the greens, kicks out the reds. Then it goes through a soft sorter. Now, a lot of people run a color sorter and a soft sorter. On this farm, we run a color sorter, soft sorter, soft sorter. We run two soft sorters. As you saw in the shed, I had hand inspectors on the line. Well, they can see, if a green gets by, they can see the green and pick it out. But if a soft gets by, they can't see soft. So we elected to spend the extra money and put in dual soft sorters to try to eliminate soft fruit going into the clam shell.
Even with that impressive farming technology, bad berries can still get by. That's where hand inspectors come back into play.
If a berry could be split, it could get by the sorters. Their job is to look for a split berry. A berry could be green on the back end, on the back side. And the cameras could have shot in the blue part of the blueberry. So I could have a berry come through on the line that is half green and half blue. So my hand inspectors pull those out also.
If you're looking for Mixon Farm blueberries at your local grocer, bear in mind the label might not have their name on it. But it's a good rule of thumb. Anything that says grown in Georgia will be your best bet.
They go all over the United States. We ship all over the United States. We ship to Canada, we ship to California. We sell to Costco, we sell to Sam's, we sell to Harris Teeter, Kroger, Trader Joe's, Publix. We sell to everybody.
And the label won't always say Mixon Farm.
It does not. I work with four major marketers. I have four major marketers that market this fruit, and they are Berry Fresh, Always Fresh, Gourmet, and Summerfield. That's four marketers that I use.
Very neat. So you're mainly looking for that grown in Georgia.
That's right.
For more stories like this one, you can watch A Fork in the Road on GPB TV or anytime on the gpb.org website. That's where you'll be able to listen to and subscribe to this podcast or download it on your favorite podcast platform. I'm David Zelsky. Thanks for listening to A Fork in the Road.